Welcome to Gold Star Classroom, the podcast where our panelists go back to school. We'll grade them on their answers to a variety of general knowledge and trivia questions. They don't know what we're going to ask, and we don't know what they're going to say. The student with the highest grade at the end of the class will win the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana. I'm your host and headmaster, Professor Jerry Jaffe. Welcome to today's episode of Gold Star Classroom. I'd like to introduce today's students. On my right, the professor of comedy and on-the-road scholar, Aaron Cosbiel.
Greetings.
Greetings, Aaron. Woo! On my left, a comedian who performs all over Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan, Chris Tiefel.
Does this mic make me sound fat?
No, sir. Being fat makes you sound fat. And sitting directly across from me, recently performed in the World Series of Comedy, Tony Adamczyk.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Tony. And I, of course, am your professor and headmaster, Dr. Jerry Jaffe. Welcome to class, everyone. During today's class, I will be challenging your intellectual prowess with knowledge and trivia across the human spectrum. And I will, of course, be grading your answers as we struggle to find the winner of today's classroom prize, the Golden Banana.
Dibs.
Sweet.
Calling dibs will not get you the Golden Banana.
Sweet. Dang it.
Aaron, having the best answers will get you the Golden Banana.
Does he lose points for the dibs?
You lose points for the dib, but you gain points for the bow tie. Woo. So you're back to zero.
Yay! I'm in the running.
Now, I want to ask you a question. This comes up really every day, and I just want to see what you think about this. And sometimes people are running late for class, and I have to ask my students if they know how to tell time, and I wonder if you know how to tell time. So my question to you is, when your clock ticks over from 11:59 to 12:00, is it a.m. or p.m.? By the way, there is only one right answer.
It's p.m.
Well, why do you say p.m.?
It's p.m. because actually putting it on the clock, if you're looking at a 24-hour clock, tick over to 12:00, that's 12 p.m. in the afternoon. 12 a.m. would be 00:00.
Keep that answer in mind, but before I say anything, Tony, Aaron, what do you think?
Oh, forget the correct answer, a.m. versus p.m. I tell you what, when that clock switches over, and my internal clock says it's midnight. Okay, so forget the correct answer. My answer is, hey, it's midnight, my internal clock.
And I'm going to go with time is an illusion.
So, time is an illusion?
Right. So whether or not it's a.m. or p.m. is entirely up to us as a collective human condition.
I didn't know we were allowed to go ethereal on this.
As the great alien philosopher Ford Prefect once said, time is an illusion.
Lunchtime doubly so.
Chris, you wanted to add something now? You have another take on the question?
Just that lunchtime's never an illusion.
Isn't all time lunchtime to you?
It is a delicious break in the day that lasts sometimes 3 hours.
Now, Chris did bring up an important point when he used the phrase 24-hour clock, because there are what's called 24-hour clocks and what's called 12-hour clocks. Mm. And the standard traditional European clock of the past several hundred years is a 12-hour clock, because it repeats 1 through 12 twice.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Military time and travel time uses 24-hour clock, where it counts straight through to 24. If you use a 24-hour clock, the AM-PM controversy slightly goes away, because there's no more room for confusion.
Martian time, I think, is like 26, right?
Mm-hmm. That I'm not sure about. I stick to Earth.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well,
and a Martian day, it's called a...
It's called a Martian day.
Yeah. No, it's a soya or something. It's soya. S-O-Y... Well, I'll screw that up. S-O-N-Y-A.
Tony, what are you talking about right now?
No, we're talking about Martian time. You know, yeah. with the rovers on... I go to that website.
Okay. Why would you know that?
Because curiosity.
thank you.
Plus 10 points for the greatest pun ever.
I head to that website. That's right. There's two of them there. Right. And they have Martian time, which isn't Martian time. It's Sonya time.
Who's Sonya?
Well, that's
there's a character in Mortal Kombat.
Greek, right? Latin.
The 12-hour clock is much older than the Mars rover, however. Mm-hmm. Do you know how long we've been keeping track of time in 12 hours?
Since sundials?
Well, since sundials, so...
Long time ago.
Long time is a good general answer.
Yes.
Anyone want to get more specific?
I used to think we just had caveman just like sitting on a thing, just doing a tick every second on the wall. And just be like, oh, there we go. No, let's see. The question is, how long have we been keeping track of time?
How long have we had a 12-hour clock?
How long have we had a 12-hour clock? Since some dude conquered some other dude and said, this is what we're doing.
Behold, I give you the 12-hour clock.
Yeah, I blame it on
And they're like, what's an hour?
Tony?
I blame it on the Romans.
The Romans deserve Greek. Some blame, but it actually goes mm-hmm. back to the ancient Egypts. Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians.
How dare you?
Well, there was an upper and lower Egypt, so there was Egypts.
Yeah,
so.
See, there's multiple Egypts.
Yeah, but he was referring to the people, not the land.
Of course.
Well, I was referring to the culture.
Which still just makes it racist.
And they did have sundials in ancient Egypt.
Oh, okay.
To keep track of 12-hour
Do you know upper or lower Egypt?
I'm not 100% certain.
Okay.
Although it did include ancient Mesopotamia also had a 12-hour clock.
Ancient Mesopotamia didn't even know how to write languages. They just wrote shapes. I mean, come on.
Right.
Where was the library for Alexandria? In northern or southern?
Northern.
Egypt? Northern, okay. That's where the answer lies.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it also was Alexandria's a port city.
Right.
So it was right
yep.
on
used
the
to
sea.
Be. Used
didn't
to
they
be.
Find it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Under the water.
Yep. Yeah.
did they find the library or did they just find the city?
Well, to decipher this AM PM mystery.
Mm-hmm. What's the answer? Yeah.
Well, what do the letters AM and PM mean?
After anti-meridian.
Tony gets 10 points for having the correct answer.
Yeah. What was it?
Anti-meridian.
Anti-meridian? Oh.
Which is Latin for
and pro-meridian.
I stand by my
Which Latin for? That's okay.
Anti-meridium.
The things you know disturb me.
Mm-hmm. And post-meridium are Latin and meaning pre and post midday.
Okay. Mm. All right, there you have it.
Pre and post midday.
So I was still correct with midnight. Come on.
Well, you were groping in the
time
right direction.
Time is circular, so after and before
I think Aaron had. I hate to say it. I think Aaron, and I don't hate to say it, but I think Aaron pegged it. It's a mirage.
Like, yeah, time is so circular. You can't really have a before and after.
I mean, really,
it's a human construct.
Yeah. Although meridian, meaning our midday, is referring to a celestial event, so there is an objective reference point.
Yeah,
but isn't it always before a midday and after a midday?
But it's an objective reference point that we force on the rest of the universe.
But when the sun is at its highest peak in the sky. That is an event. That's not before or after. It's mm-hmm. a thing that's happening. So that's before that event or after that event.
Yeah, but then we got so pompous and we were like, and then we used that model and imposed it on the rest of the universe. And
so if AM and PM refer to before or after a celestial event, which we conversationally call midday, then midday itself is not before or after itself. So the actual correct answer is not to say AM or PM when you say 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock is not AM or PM.
So I'm still right. Illusion.
I'll go with construct.
Whatever.
But the construct in play.
Whoa, semantic. Whoa. Construct.
It's an artificial idea.
Are you Agent Smith?
Well, we all are living in the Matrix.
Am I in a tube somewhere right now?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with that, because apparently I'm well-fed.
Right.
But
if you look in a proper writing guide, for example, the American Heritage Dictionary, it says you should say 12 noon and 12 midnight. You shouldn't say 12 a.m. or 12 p.m. Or you can just say noon and midnight without using the number 12 at all.
To them, I say, this is America, and I'll say what I want.
And because of the 12 noon, 12 midnight, 12 a.m., 12 p.m. confusion, in the military and in travel, they almost never schedule anything at noon or midnight. It'll be 11:59 a.m. is when your flight is coming in, or 12:01 p.m. is when your train is leaving, typically.
And then they're always 10, 15 minutes late anyway.
Yeah, so it's the next day.
All right, well, after our first...
Oh, no, I didn't realize I was going to... learn so much during this podcast. It's amazing.
This is a classroom, yeah, Tony. Yeah, it is my mission.
There's at least two professors here. Yes.
And Aaron, stop taking the gum from under the desk and chewing on it.
Yes. Stick to the glue, buddy.
So I give you an A for recycling, but an F for germs.
This isn't pass-fail.
I'll give you a pass-fail question. Who said, you might have, this is a common internet saying, so you might have seen it circulating, emails, Facebook, or what have you. The difference between stupidity and genius is that genius has its limits.
Bjork.
No.
Damn. I think Einstein said that.
We have a vote for Bjork, a vote for Einstein. Three, two, one.
Samuel Clemens.
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. Why did I go to his original name? I'm like, I know you're... Okay. Well, nobody knows Mark Twain.
You get plus 10 points for knowing Mark Twain's real name and minus 15 points for the wrong answer.
Dang it.
Although I may have to retract that, Tony gets 10 points for... saying Einstein, because that is who it is usually attributed to.
But
that is in fact like a internet myth.
Right.
That's a misattribution.
Benjamin Franklin.
Urban legend.
The punctual plumber.
Oppenheimer.
Nobody knows who said it.
Okay.
It's just a saying from the past.
So it could have just been some fat dude at a computer one day, and it just
Oh, divorce.
They didn't have
divorce. It has been as a saying, it's been dated back at least 100 years. It definitely predates Einstein. It could have been Mark Twain, actually. We can't rule out the possibility.
I'm sure he also
It also
said
could have
it.
Been some stable boy.
Sounds like some Edison, Thomas Edison, would have said. He talked about failing so often before he got the...
Until he really perfected his whole stealing ideas thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The difference between stupidity and genius is that genius has its limits. And even though Einstein did not say this, it's still... ironic, given that this quote is still appropriate for this class.
Mm-hmm. So if I beat up Tony, do I get his points?
No, we...
Well, I'm going to have negative points. I don't think it's going to hurt your total. No, may add to your total, actually.
We do not approve of bullying in this class.
It's not bullying. It's a good, honest fight that I would win.
I'll send you to the principal's office, although we have no principals.
Well, you get your father, or you get your dad. I don't know. Headlock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of my father, who's a well-known professional wrestler, you remind me of Thor. And recently the second Thor movie has come out, and it got me remembering the nostalgic good old days of the real Thor. I'm talking about the original comic book Thor.
Not the Stargate Thor with the alien.
Not right. The Stargate Thor with the alien.
Not the
Norse
actual North
God. Okay. Yeah. But the Marvel comic character Thor first appeared in what year, do you know?
I don't know, but I'm going to take a stab at it.
What's your stab, Tony?
1938.
1965. 1974. You're all wrong, but Aaron was the closest.
Of course he was.
Wait, did he go over?
He went over.
If he's 1963, wasn't it?
Didn't win.
I win. I'm under.
Closest. August 1962 was the first time.
Close.
Thor, the Marvel superhero.
I just figured in the 70s they were more accepting of the long hair.
The Marvel had an earlier comic character called Venus, and both Thor and Loki appear as Norse gods in those comics, but they weren't the characters that we know now. They just were other mythological characters.
I always preferred Loki. Everybody had a good time.
Loki is one of the great comic book villains, I think.
He always knew how to have a good time, man. Norse god of mischief. Gotta love him.
Yeah.
Was it Venus female, though?
Yes, that's correct. Venus was like a version of Aphrodite, and she had adventures.
Yeah, okay.
She fell on hard times in the 20th century, came out with a line of razors.
Right.
Had her arms cut off once.
Yeah. So that... well played, sir. That,
wait, then how's she using the razors?
That version of Thor appeared in 1951, but that was not the superhero version. That was just another mythological character that appeared in the Venus comics. In 1962, when Thor first appeared, he was modeled after another character that appeared earlier that same year, which was Hulk. Because Stan Lee was struggling with the question, how do you make a person stronger than a person? Mm-hmm. And the Hulk's answer was like to bring out his Jekyll and Hyde rage character, I guess. And then after the Hulk, he came up with Thor, as in make a human into a god.
Yeah.
Wow.
But if we think of the Hulk and we think of that formula for a superhero, in those days, Thor had a mortal alter ego.
Yes.
And his name was?
Donald Blake.
Donald Blake.
Way to go, baby. Now, help me out. Who was?
Well, first, I have to give Aaron a gold star for that answer. Mm-hmm. So that's your gold star. Thank you. Dr. Donald Blake was walking in Norway on his first adventure.
In a winter wonderland.
And aliens attacked. And in the course of that attack, he found a walking stick. Mm-hmm. And that walking stick was Thor's hammer in its mortal disguise.
Mm-hmm. I'm so disturbed that you just put a gold star on his tweed jacket.
It goes with his bow tie.
Right. No, I mean, is your last name Himmler?
Oh no!
I've got to tell you though, my favorite comic book star of all time,
right,
hands down, is Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman,
absolutely.
Wonder Woman,
She's pretty. She can kick ass.
I liked Wonder Woman when I read it as a child,
but she can't keep track of her plane.
Yes.
Well,
but
didn't need one.
She may be my least favorite of all the famous comic book heroes.
Why is that?
Because not only is the Lasso of Truth lame, but worse than that, the Lasso of Truth was proposed as a superhero power by the same guy who invented the lie detector.
Damn.
To put it into the public consciousness that you could make someone tell the truth.
Hmm.
And so it became kind of like product placement.
Product placement for peace.
You know else who had a lasso?
Of truth?
Twinkie.
I was thinking the Lone Ranger, but
Twinkie had a lasso. It's a useless weapon. I mean, by the time she gets enough torque on that thing to get to somebody, they've shot her.
But she could just
that would be a quick turnaround. Then she had to start torquing it again to get to her.
I wasn't thinking of her self-defense mechanism. when I said Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I was thinking.
Plus, she would crush you.
Right.
That'd be
a nice obituary.
Who would win in a fight? Wonder Woman or Venus? I know you're picturing it now, aren't you, Tony? You got it in your head.
Well, Wonder Woman still has arms, so.
I just hope it's a fight that lasts a long time and I can watch and enjoy the entire fight.
Aaron, besides knowing the answer, Dr. Donald Blake, did bring up that Thor, of course, is a mythological Norse god.
Right.
Actually also sort of imported from Iceland into Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
And older than the Romans, so thousands of years old.
Mm-hmm.
And also is the source of the word Thursday.
Yes. And Odin's the source of Wednesday.
You are anticipating my final Thor-related question.
Was that your question?
My question is, where do the names of the 7 days come from?
Oh, okay. Well,
This sounds too easy for Aaron, so let the slower students have a chance. Chris?
Yeah.
Do you want to go in order, or do you want to say the ones you know? We got Wednesday and Thursday.
I have to be specific.
Okay, well, Sunday is named after...
It'd be the... I always thought it was Greek gods, though.
You do touch on a point that goes further back. The Greeks had already divided the week up into 7 days, and those 7 days were named after something, and to say they're gods is not wrong, by the way. It's not wrong, but there's like a confluence of influences. So it's the gods... plus another thing.
The sun?
That's part of it. The sun is part of it, but Sunday? It's not the total answer.
Constellations?
Aaron, do you know why we have 7 days originally, regardless of what they're called?
Not offhand.
In ancient times...
Hey, we're leaving the Aztecs and the Mayans.
We're leaving
the Aztecs and the Mayans out of this.
This, well,
they don't
we are,
really matter.
A, yes, we are. B, God creating the biblical idea that God created the world in seven days.
You don't go. Mm-hmm.
Is not as old as the reason why we have 7 days.
Well, darn it, I have some bones to pick with my pastor now.
And actually, yes, you do, sir, but we won't go into that here. I will say the Aztecs and the Mayans probably had a similar basic mm-hmm. formula mm-hmm. because there is, much like midday, there's a specific reason why there are seven. If you don't have telescopes, besides the generic constellations, there are specifically seven objects in the sky which are different from the background stars. The sun, the moon, and there are five planets you can see with your naked eye.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, and all five of those planets, whether it was Greek, Roman, or Norse,
mm-hmm.
were associated with gods.
It's Venus, Mars.
All right, let's see. Venus, Mars. I have the list in front of me to make sure.
Venus, Mars, Mercury?
Yeah. Yep, those are three of them.
And Venus, Mars, Mercury...
be Jupiter and Saturn.
Jupiter and Saturn. And those five planets, and then the sun and the moon. Mm-hmm. So those seven celestial bodies, mm-hmm. they move, they're distinctive, they're brighter, et cetera, et cetera.
Predictable.
Yeah, predictable, measurable,
yeah.
and so on.
So Monday would be Mercury.
No. Well, in a different era, Monday would have been named after... No, not Monday. Which one? Sunday and Monday are named after the sun and the moon.
Yeah. Okay.
The sun's day and the moon's day.
That makes more sense.
Okay.
The days that we use, the words we use now in modern English, come from the Norse gods. But the Greeks and the Romans, the names for their days were based on their gods. So mm-hmm. that is correct. Because that would involve a giant matrix 10 pages long, I don't have all the names printed out in front of me. I just... went with English. Why is it called Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right. Saturday, Sunday? So Wednesday is named after Odin, Thursday, Thor, Sunday and Monday, the sun and the moon. So that leaves Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, which they are all Norse gods, so.
Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday.
I figured Friday's Saturday was Saturn.
Correct. Saturday is the one that's not named after Norse gods.
Yeah. Right.
So Saturday is named after Saturn.
Tuesday, Friday is...
You get another gold star, Aaron.
Yay.
Plus 10 points.
Soon I will be a solar system unto myself.
Tony, double Jewish. Tony and Chris, if you want the golden banana, you're going to have to pick it up before this class
is
over.
No, amen, man.
Friday. All I can think about when I think about Friday is that god-awful Rebecca Black song.
Teutonic god of love, beauty, and procreation, Freya.
Why'd he come up with that? He'd give me 60 more seconds. I was that close.
They always are. And for Tuesday is the Germanic god of war and the sky, who is sometimes called Tew or Tear.
Just going to say that.
Tuesday. Sure. All right.
Would you let me copy off you, Aaron?
Yeah, let me sit closer to you, Aaron.
Well, that's some astronomy, some astrology, some science, some pop culture.
Bunch of history.
Let's go in a different direction, shall we? Let's go in the direction of history, art history.
This is where you guys pick up some points.
We already talked about Venus de Milo, I thought.
Yeah.
Venus in arms. Oh, yeah,
well, then I guess Aaron's going to have an advantage again.
Yeah.
Woot.
Who painted the Mona Lisa?
Michelangelo, right?
We have a guess for Michelangelo. Agree or disagree?
Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, Leonardo da Vinci, that's right.
Certainly Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci are like the two most famous names mm-hmm. of sort of that period of art, and so mm-hmm. sometimes...
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, after the Ninja Turtles.
Did you see that they just came out, and apparently there's another one that was printed by his apprentice, and the paint was preserved, so you can actually see the original what the original color scheme was supposed to be.
Oh, cool.
So it was Leonardo... Da Vinci.
That's Da Vinci and drag. We all know that.
It was his mother.
Established...
I don't know if anyone knows that.
Leonardo Da Vinci is the painter of Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I had, shall we say, one other easy question, and then it starts to get hard. The other easy question is...
Choose what happens with the Mona Lisa.
Where today would one go to see the Mona Lisa?
That would be
the Louvre.
The Louvre, yeah.
The Louvre.
Yeah.
You got to put a little... It's not a full R, but it's like Louvre.
In Louvre.
In Paris.
In Paris, correct. Now, besides being one of the most famous paintings, one of the big questions is, who is it?
Right.
From the point of view of art historians, there's no mystery. So sometimes people in bars might be arguing about who it's supposed to be. But it is clearly a known person. probably an obscure footnote to history. Does anyone know who the woman is sitting
for the moment? I always heard that was his mother.
It's not his mother.
It's sister or mistress.
It was a like commissioned portrait for a wealthy family.
Oh, yeah.
Lady Mona De Lisa.
I never really paid attention to art. Like, I went to the art museum here in Toledo, and I went in the wrong entrance, and I walked out right away because they were trying to tell me furniture was art. They had a table, and it was a very nice table, ornately done, but I just knew at some point in history some fat guy bellied up there for his dinner, and I'm just like, it's not art. You went to somebody's yard sale.
Postmodern.
Postmodernism will be a topic for another classroom. Okay. It's too big of its own can of worms to open up now.
Sure.
Do you know the proper name of the Mona Lisa? That's like its English name, but of course its proper name is Italian.
The chick who sat? How do you say that in Italian?
It is in fact a pun on the name of the young woman. The proper Italian name of the painting is La Gioconda. And
oh, I had to come up with that.
So that sounded like the chick who sat to me.
And the person in the portraits is called Lisa, but her married name is Giocondo. So, and Gioconda is a pun in Italian on the name Giocondo.
Hmm. Plus, it's also a really cool clue to find, you know, the secret of Jesus. So
yes, yeah.
We all learned that. Tom Hanks just put that to bed.
Yes, there's all kinds of accurate history in the Da Vinci Code. They should just be teaching that in junior.
Have you not seen albino assassins just running free?
Well, Dan Brown's got it all right, man. He's absolutely correct. That stuff is gospel.
Mm-hmm. When was the painting painted? Even approximately.
1437.
1590.
I'm just going to go with the 15th century.
Well, no one's close.
No one's close. It's actually, in all of you said, you've covered like the range.
Right.
It's early 16th century.
Okay.
He probably began it around 1503. And in those days, you didn't just sit down and paint a painting. It took years to finish.
Right.
And so there's some debate about when it was
Laziness.
Finished.
Yeah. How do you not finish a painting?
Partially because of travel. If you have two or three commissions going, you spend like some time working on one, and then you got to get a horse and cart and take a month to go to the next town over to work on your other painting. And over the course of years, you're doing several projects.
Just take a picture of it.
Come on, right on your iPhone. Boom, I'll be back.
Bam. Photoshop, done in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
It is considered to have been completed by 1517.
Like, how do they not even know that? That doesn't even make any... You figure they would have the record, or he would have written in his journal that I'm sure that they have.
Well,
Dear diary, finished today I painted the Mona Lisa. December 37th.
Smiley 15... face, exclamation mark,
got stiffed on the bill.
Yes.
Yeah.
15 cents.
Like, how much would you charge for a painting back then?
You know, I don't have that figure in front of me.
It's
a lot. To get a lot
of dinero.
Yeah, a lot of dinero. Not just one Robert, but a lot. I mean, these types of commissioned paintings were only done by the wealthiest families or by the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci doing something for you, you're probably paying them a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't have figures for that. So it's a great question. 5 points for a great question.
I've always wondered what was considered rich back then. Like now we know what's considered rich. Like if you have millions of dollars, you're considered rich and wealthy.
Land.
The study of historic monetary values is itself a whole part of history that's very fascinating. What historians usually do is study the commodities. So Tony mentioned land.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Bread is a big one. Find out how much does bread cost like a laborer,
mm-hmm.
and then compare that to how they're being paid. And then you can extrapolate, like, what are laborers paid? What's the value of this? What's the value of that?
How much wine can you buy?
It's,
Mead, man, mead.
I know.
No, that's Norse.
Again, and then it's hard to compare. Like, if you're talking about Italy in the 1500s or England in the 1600s or Germany in the 1400s, what are you actually comparing? So it becomes a surprisingly interesting and complicated question.
The lira, the pound, the mark, the franc.
I can give you one estimate from a different realm, and that is playwrights in London during Shakespeare's time, for writing a play, their commission was a few thousand dollars.
In today's money.
Money, yeah.
So you get approximately the equivalent of 4,000 to 5,000 contemporary U.S. dollars for writing a play.
A few months
for
rent,
a play commission. So. Yeah, it was estimated that a writer needed to write 4 to 6 plays a year, and they'd make like a good
living. The pound itself, probably based on some kind of a measure of weight.
Yes.
I mean, that would be why it's called a pound.
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to what
a pound sterling.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Getting back to what he said. What could
sterling
be measured? Yeah, land. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you one more question about the Mona Lisa.
She's smiling.
We're not sure about that. She may be smiling.
She's scowling.
I mean, the aesthetics of the painting are highly studied. There's shapes, there's background.
Yep.
I've never understood how this one painting became so flippin' famous. Was it like the last one he painted or something? Like, I don't get why everybody loves this.
I will tell you one thing.
Painting.
This contributes.
Why did Pokemon become popular? I mean, out of all the Mon.
It's just a painting.
Panimation produced.
For
Pokemon?
All intents and purposes, it's just a painting of some random chick from the 16th century. So, really, who cared?
On the one hand, I've seen the Mona Lisa when I was in Paris, and it's certainly a beautiful painting. Whether or not that justifies it being like the most famous painting is still welcome to debate. But it is definitely a very well done, beautiful painting. But I'll tell you, this is my last question about the Mona Lisa, and it does contribute to its lore. It has famously been stolen. So, in 1911, the Mona Lisa was stolen.
Is that the plot of Assassin's Creed?
If it's not, it should be.
We have to go back in time.
There's something there. There's something there. Yes.
So,
no, forget zombies. We're going in for the Mona Lisa.
Right.
Do you have any idea who or why the Mona Lisa was stolen? The whos or the whys?
No idea about the whos, but I'd imagine the why would be money, because that's usually the motivation behind every theft.
I think, what if it was somebody from the museum itself who stole it in order to, like, make it more famous.
Create a legend.
What if it was the Mona Lisa herself that came in back into the future, stole the painting, and took it back?
Night of the Museum 3.
just so Da Vinci could finish it.
It could be.
Just so Da Vinci could finish it.
You're like, seriously, dude. Come on. You made me pizza-faced. I mean, really.
I don't think it was for money. I think somebody wanted to take
Marty, we gotta go back!
Put it in their living room and admire it.
I will say this, Aaron.
Yes?
It was stolen by an employee of the museum.
Woot!
Wow!
Vincenzo Perugia.
Well, it would have to be an inside job. I mean, the security in those places is...
Well, this was 1911, so the security wasn't what it would be today.
Right. Well, I mean, they didn't
walk in.
Imagine they would have a guy that would. Have you ever seen Indiana Jones? He caught you with it.
Ocean's 12.
Yes, here's his Ocean 12's Mission Impossible plan. Entered the building during regular hours, hid in broom closet, and walking out with it hidden under his coat after the museum had closed.
How fat is this man? The Mona Lisa is a good-sized painting.
It's actually pretty small.
Normal person that's putting that...
No, it's pretty small. Yeah.
I mean, and people would notice the fact that your stomach is suddenly square.
But the museum's closed, they're an employee, they have an overcoat on, it's night.
How long did he have it? Do we have that part of the story?
Yes, we do.
All right.
It was eventually...
Wasn't it years?
Yeah, it was stolen in 1911 and recovered in 1913. So he had it for about 2 years.
How damaged was it?
It was not particularly damaged, although I believe it was discovered in his small apartment, possibly under his bed.
Did you say any rumor to the truth that he slept with her?
They did seem to share a bed.
Yeah, he was on top.
Wow. That explains the smile.
Yeah.
Now, to the question of motivation. I'll let you ponder that for a second just to give you some art history trivia. When the painting was discovered missing, they did a kind of usual suspects dragnet that brought in hundreds of suspects, just interviewed people, what do you know? And the one famous painter in his own right was one of the people brought in for questioning because he was a known hater of the Louvre, which is Picasso.
Right, yeah.
So there were some artists, of which Picasso was the most famous example, who like hated the bourgeois museum aesthetic.
Yeah.
And so all these artists were part of the dragnet just to see if they knew anything about it.
Dun, dun, dun.
So,
we're motivation?
Motivation.
Motivation.
I think we already touched on that.
Well,
on the sleep with the most famous woman in the world.
Nobody appreciates her but me.
He's here. Look, he works at the museum. He's looking at the painting every day. He's got this bond.
Yeah.
She wants me.
Yeah. Look at those eyes.
Look at that smile.
So we know the answer, and this is the question.
It is a two-part answer.
Okay.
Did I get any of those parts right?
Chris got one of the parts right when he said money, actually.
He had it under his bed because he was keeping it till the heat died down, and then he was going to hawk it.
He already had an accomplice who was doing fakes and selling them in other countries.
Oh,
because
nice.
Once the real one was out of circulation, right. It was easier to sell forgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not clear how much money was involved, but that seemed to be part of the plot.
How stupid do you have to be to buy a fake painting? Because I mean the art community in and of itself is relatively small. Like, right. Art collector community is relatively small, and so, like,
have you ever seen Antiques Roadshow? Like, yeah. People
no,
just keep...
people
think, oh, I'm getting the real one! I'm getting a bargain!
But like, the art collector community in the world is the people that can actually afford to buy these paintings are... It's relatively small, and they do talk to each other. So, like, one person gets the Mona Lisa... It's gonna get around, and then another person's like, hey, I'm gonna sell you the Mona Lisa. Be like, I think Bob in Russia just did that.
Well,
so I don't know how you're doing that.
Black market art is a huge business.
Huge business.
And
big business.
When you buy black market art, you're never sure.
Yep.
Even if you have experts or dealers or antique specialists who are critiquing
Unbelievable.
It, you just have to accept. And so if the Mona Lisa was missing and your friend in wherever, Moscow, claimed to have one, but someone came to one with you... You have to say this could be the one.
This could be
the real one.
No, it apparently was.
To wrap this one up with a little bow. The other thing with Perugio was that he was Italian, and he felt that the Mona Lisa should be in Italy.
Italy.
So there was patriotism, was supposedly part of
money,
motivation.
Patriotism,
and love.
And love, the usual.
The
love.
Usual.
The
suspect.
Usual.
Wait. He believed that the painting belonged in Italy, but he kept her in Paris.
No. He returned to Italy. He moved back to Italy, kept it in his little
apartment.
Wasn't
that suspicious that he suddenly moved? I have a sudden desire to move back to my home country.
No one look under the coat.
Nobody check my baggage. No, it's as a carry-on.
All right, gentlemen, we've come to the part of the class where it's up to me, your teacher, to calculate your final grades and award the coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana.
Mm-hmm.
While I'm working on those computations, I'll give each student one more chance for extra credit. So anything you'd like to say to add to your attempt to add to your grade? Although remember, I grade extra credit extra hard because I'm not just here to pass out free points. Mm. Would somebody like to go first?
I would.
Tony.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to be the head of the class. In fact...
Mission accomplished.
Thank you so... Thank you! Because I want to return. I do not want to graduate from this Comcast. I want to come back over and over and over. I don't want to excel, succeed, or do as well as either Aaron or Chris have done.
Okay.
So it is my goal and intention to come back and to be the last in the class.
You will...
Have I... And to this, I think I've... Made my point.
Tony really knows how to set the bar low.
Yeah, by joining the class.
Yeah.
Right.
How about you, Chris? Any extra credit comments?
I guess the one we were talking about earlier was saying, you know, the you know, whenever people, refugees and stuff, come over here, the State Department helps them out, and they have that list of places, and they rank them by, like, cost of living and all that stuff. And that's how you end up with, you know, large pockets of a certain ethnicity. Or nationality in a certain area. So, like, when I was living in Fort Wayne, I found out Fort Wayne has the largest Burmese refugee population outside of Laos.
Really?
And Burma being the actual name for what is now called Myanmar under the junta.
Under the junta. And it is the case that once, sometimes immigrant families send away for their families. So once a few families have been established in a neighborhood or a city, then cousins come and uncles come, and then the little community pops up. Very nice, Chris. Aaron, any extra credit for you?
Well, I must say that I dressed up for this.
It doesn't work.
What?
Yes, welcome to the podcast wearing your bow tie.
Yep.
That's his podcast bow tie he's got on.
Yeah, specifically for this podcast.
Yes, Aaron?
I implore you, one professor to another, as a professional courtesy,
yes. to give me extra credit.
Am I the only one that thought he was about to cry?
It brought a tear to my eye. All right. Well, that will be taken under due advisement. However,
those who prove worthy shall hold Mjolnir.
You just grab that from between your legs. What were you grabbing for?
The banana. The golden banana.
It looked like he was grabbing an imaginary sword from between his legs. And I'm like,
behold. So, to review the final grades, we have Tony, whose grade would be like his body shape. Not vertical, but horizontal because it flatlined.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Chris gets a D.
And my bra size.
like his entire body shape. Yes. And so that means that the winner of today's coveted classroom prize, the Golden Banana, goes to Professor Aaron Cosville.
Show me C minus.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
And that just leaves it for me, your host and professor, Dr. Jerry Jaffe, to thank you for coming to today's class.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Fun to be seen, good to be heard.
See ya.
Gold Star Classroom is written and produced by Jerry Jaffe. Our producer and engineer is Stephen Gutierrez. Original music composed and produced by Jeff Gettert. Mr. Gettert is also our assistant producer. All commentary and opinions expressed by guests of Gold Star Classroom are meant for entertainment purposes only. For Gold Star Classroom, I'm Jerry Jaffe.